What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, for another edition of Crunch Time. I am your host, Double T Travis, there. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation heading your way this evening. And, of course, as always, we're talking all things high school sports here in Eagle Country, and also going to get into Double T's takes. Not something I do every week, but I am bringing it back this week because I do want to talk about the college football playoff. A lot of excitement around these parts for that particular playoff, with the UC Bearcats making it for the first time, the first group of five team to make the college football playoff since its inception back in 2014, and a very intriguing matchup coming up for the Bearcats. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show. Also going to talk a little high school football tonight, as the Indiana Football Coaches Association have named their all-state team, so we will certainly start with that this evening. Also going to get to a recent college commitment from one of our area student athletes. We'll give you your girls and boys basketball roundup preview Thursday's ball game between the East Central Lady Trojans and the Columbus North Lady Bulldogs. We will bring you that game live from St. Leon. We'll talk about that and just mention Double T's takes. That is the rundown tonight for Crunch Time. So again, thank you for joining me. So let's jump right on in, shall we, and talk about the 10 EIAC football stars that have earned All-State honors, again, from the Indiana Football Coaches Association. They not only announced their All-State teams, but a part of that, their top 50 All-State team, Mr. Football Position Award winners as well, and Coaches of the Year. None of our coaches from the area were honored by the IFCA, although I'm sure many were in the running, such as Coach Miners, Coach Kaniga, maybe even Coach Ballard as well, as all three of those teams had really nice seasons, that being East Central, Lawrenceburg, and South Dearborn. But really, the headliner with the awards was Lawrenceburg senior offensive lineman Ashton Craig, who made the IFCA top 50 All-State team. Now, Ashton, of course, a lot of people know his story. He's going to go on to play for the University of Notre Dame. Doesn't look like that commitment is going to change after the recent news with Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly leaving the team and taking the LSU job. But Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, taking over that head coaching position. And a lot of players and recruits actually made their voices be known that they wanted Marcus Freeman to get that opportunity. And he is a fabulous recruiter, great defensive coordinator, and really has a high ceiling, should be a tremendous head coach. But Tommy Reese was one of the guys that recruited Ashton Craig. This is according to 24/7 Sports, the offensive coordinator there. Young guy, not even 30 yet, and he has already announced to the team that he is coming back. He's not going to go with Brian Kelly to LSU or go anywhere else. He is Notre Dame through and through. So I think that probably helps with Ashton staying with his commitment to Notre Dame. Of course, the question always comes up when the head coach leaves. Will commits start to flip and go to other schools? But it sounds like that's going to be a very solid commitment with Ashton. He's going to stick with Notre Dame. I think that's a phenomenal choice, because if you're an offensive lineman, you're going to Notre Dame. That's really one of the places you want to be. They year in, year out, pump players into the NFL, specifically at that offensive line position. So again, Ashton Craig, a big-time prospect, number 11 in the state of Indiana and the 40th best offensive tackle in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. But what a season Ashton had as a offensive lineman for the Tigers. They went 11-2 again, winning the sectional championship for the third consecutive year. And Ashton, protecting Garrett Yoon so he can get the ball down the field, helping pave the way in the run game. 406 yards of total offense this year for the Tigers. And not only was Ashton Craig named to the top 50 All-State team, which means he is one of the best players in the state, but also selected as the IFCA's Mr. Football Position Award winner for the top performing offensive lineman in the state. And we are certainly looking forward to seeing what he will do at the collegiate level for the University of Notre Dame, although right now his focus is on winning games, helping the Tigers win games on the basketball floor, and they are off to a good start. We will talk more about them a little bit later on in the show. Now, in Class 4A, this where we want to start with the All-State teams, the Class 4A senior All-State team. Three local student athletes featured there, two from East Central, one from South Dearborn. You got Casey McQueen on the offensive line and Sam Ringer as a defensive back representing the East Central Trojans, joined on that Class 4A senior All-State team by South Dearborn linebacker Sean Somer. All three of these young men, phenomenal players. Casey McQueen stepping into a tough role as he would look to kind of fill the shoes of Luke Collinsworth, who was an All-State player at East Central as well. But Casey had a phenomenal year blocking for the Trojans. This Trojans run attack, 2,700 yards, 42 touchdowns this season. McQueen played a big role in the success of the Trojans offensively. As for Sam Ringer, perhaps the Trojans' most important player, 47 tackles on the season, 7 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, fumble recovery, had a defensive touchdown, and of course that incredible kickoff return touchdown against Greenwood in the opening round of sectional play. So Sam Ringer, a fabulous all-around player, did a punt for East Central, also got in on offense a little bit. He could do a little bit of everything, and such a great kid as well, so very deserving there. Unfortunately, had his season ended early due to a leg injury, but we wish him well in his recovery. As for Sean Somer, one of the top linebackers in the area and in the state, for that matter, leading tackler for South Dearborn this year. He lived in the opponent's backfield, double-digit tackles for a loss, so well-deserving for Sean Somer. It was a lot of fun watching him this year as he wreaked havoc on offenses across the region. As for the Class 4A junior All-State team, Eli Aston, the electric wide receiver for East Central, really broke onto the scene this year. He and Cole Burton really have a nice rapport. 44 receptions, 752 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He had another 781 yards returning the ball on punts and kicks and scored 4 times between punt and kickoff returns. So electric. Anytime Eli gets his hands on the ball, he's got a chance to make some people miss and take it to the house. Very, very fun player to watch play this year in 2021. Moving on to the Class 3A All-State team. This is the senior All-State team. 3 EIAC standouts here as well. Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel, the dynamic duo for the Lawrenceburg Tigers, along with Franklin County's do-it-all athlete Jacob Schatzel, the 3 players featured on this team from our local schools. Now, Garrett Yoon, what can I say about this young man? A phenomenal 4-year run as a starting quarterback for the Tigers. Became the 12th player in state history to throw for 9,000 or more career yards, and in his final year as the Tigers quarterback, almost 2,400 yards, 26 touchdowns through the air, ran for another 850 8 and 13 touchdowns on the ground. So again, a phenomenal 4-year career for Garrett Yoon, leading the Tigers to 3 consecutive sectional championships. And his top target there, Daya Patel, my goodness, what a year. He had 67 receptions, over 1,100 yards, and 15 touchdowns as he was Garrett Yoon's main man over the last couple of seasons. And then Jacob Schatzel, I had a lot of fun watching this kid play over the last couple years. A Swiss Army knife of sorts for Franklin County. He could hurt you running the ball through the air as a wide receiver, and was also one of their top defensive backs this year as well. 13 total touchdowns, almost 900 total yards between rushing and receiving. So a phenomenal player there for Franklin County. And 2 others from the EIAC were recognized on the Class 3A junior All-State team. Batesville's Bryson Benelli, who is a really, really quality wide receiver, making that team, and Greensburg's Sam West, who was named the punter on the Class 3A junior All-State team. Congratulations to those young men and the 8 others that I mentioned that made IFCA All-State teams for their performances during the 2021 football season. You can read a little bit more about each and every one of those individuals over at EagleCountryOnline.com, but a great way to start out the show tonight, recognizing some of the top football players in the area. And again, I just want to mention one more time, a lot of fun covering these teams here in the area. Our 4 primary teams, South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, East Central, and Milan. Of course, East Central and Lawrenceburg going on to win sectional championships, lost narrowly in the regional. So maybe a little what if in the minds of the Trojans and Tigers. If they could have got past that game, who knows what might have happened. You had South Dearborn, who had a winning season, and then Milan. They got a lot of youngsters on this team, played a tougher schedule this year as an independent. We're competitive in the sectional rounds, and I tell you what, they got a lot of talent coming back. I think next year they have a chance to really see some vast improvement and maybe even go on and finally capture that sectional championship that they've been after and have come so close to the last couple of seasons. Hearing through the grapevines, there could be some changes with South Dearborn in terms of class moving forward, so I don't know if that's going to go into effect next year, maybe the year after, but it looks like they may be in a different sectional going forward. So maybe that helps their cause a little bit as well. But again, these are the four teams we're going to continue to cover strongly going forward. And we're looking forward already to the 2022 season. But a good cap to the 2021 season with several players here in the area making all-state teams. Next up here on Crunch Time, I want to recognize a student athlete from Rising Sun that is set to continue her volleyball career at the collegiate level. Cora Poling signing her letter of intent last week to play volleyball at Mount St. Joseph's University. And I tell you what, she's been a key contributor on this Rising Sun team. All 4 years of her high school career, she's been all conference in the ORVC the last three seasons. And she has most definitely padded some stats over her four-year career. 916 career kills, 135 aces, 168 in terms of blocks, 546 on digs, and 335 receptions. So Cora Poling, a very good volleyball player, going to go on to Mount St. Joseph's University, continue playing, and I'm sure going to get a great education there as well. So congratulations to Cora, and looking forward to seeing what she will do at the next level. All right, moving right along here on Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I am Double T Travis there. The boys basketball season off and running, and it's been a very nice start to the season for a few of our area teams, South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, and East Central, undefeated so far this season. I do want to start with South Dearborn, 3-0 now on the season, wins over Rising Sun, Franklin County, and their latest victory, 55-50 on Friday, over a very good, or at least what I would consider a very good Jackson Dell team. Really nice win for South Dearborn. I thought that this was going to be a game that was going to be a little bit more of a test for them. Than maybe their first two games, which were double-digit wins, but they hold on to win 55-50 behind 21 points from Eli Hoffman, got 19 from Reese Willoughby. So obviously they did some heavy lifting for the offense, scoring a bulk of the points, but defensively being able to hold Jackson Dell to 50 points, great early season win for South Dearborn, and defensively they've been awesome this year, allowing only 41.7 points per game in their three wins, and that's where this team is going to hang their hat this season. I've gotten a chance to see them play once so far, and they are only using maybe a seven-man rotation here early in the season. Some others are going to have a chance to work their way into said rotation, but they got seven that they really trust. They play good defense together, good on-ball defense, good team defense. They seem to really trust one another offensively. They play confident and play together there. They're also a very patient half-court offense team. So as long as they don't turn the ball over a bunch, they're going to be in just about every game they play because their defense has been very strong. At least that's the indication I get early in the season with them only playing three games, but a fabulous start for South Dearborn. They will have several games coming up here in the next couple of weeks. They're going to have a game at Madison on Friday. They turn around and hit the road to Harrison on Saturday. A big one next Friday at home against Connersville, because one, that's going to be a big EIAC matchup. We think that this conference is going to be fairly even this year. I know Connersville and Greensburg for many of years kind of get that top team vibe from people that cover the sport, and it's been well deserved as they have been amongst the best teams in the EIAC and among the sectional champs or contenders each and every year. But I think with Greensburg, Connersville, South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, East Central, there's a chance for any one of those five teams to win this conference, and that's no disrespect to Batesville, Franklin County, or Rushville. I think those teams are very quality as well. Who knows? They might be able to get their names in the mix, specifically Batesville. Franklin County's already kind of behind the eight ball with the 0-2 conference record, having lost to South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg already. But this is a really, really good conference, but that's going to be a big game next Friday against Connersville. We will bring you that game right here on your hometown radio station, and then South Dearborn's going to go try to test themselves in the Morristown tournament around Christmas time. So some intriguing matchups for this Knights team coming up. Those two road games against Madison and Harrison, those will be tough tests coming up this weekend. So it's going to be fun to see how the Knights respond. After going 3-0 to start the season, will they keep it up this weekend on the road? Looking forward to seeing how Coach Colston and his Knights do against those two quality teams on Friday and Saturday. How about the Lawrenceburg Tigers? Saw them defeat Franklin County last Tuesday. Had that call right here on your hometown radio station. Came from down 13 at the half to come back and win that game by 3 points. And just seeing them the way they played in the second half, if they can do that consistently for four quarters, they're going to be in line for a really, really great season as well. They have some really nice players on their roster. More on that in just a second. Went and played Milan on Saturday, a more convincing win for the Tigers, 66-41 in that game, and that was without Garrett Yoon. But Logan Rohrer, this young man has a chance to play a very key part on this team this year. Only played two quarters against Franklin County. He was out the first half. That was a little bit of a disciplinary thing, but he had a major impact in the second half of that game with 9 points. He was kind of heading up their full court press, creating some havoc on defense, sharing the ball with his teammates as well. But a big performance against Milan, 16 points on 7 of 19 shooting, had 6 assists in that game. Jackson Bobo, 14 points, including a thunderous two-hand dunk. And his younger brother, just a freshman, Cooper Bobo, 11 points in that game. Coming on strong here to start the season. He had a nice game against Franklin County as well. Didn't score as much, but you can kind of see the talent there for young Cooper Bobo. And then Brennan Bushman, I think this is a young man that's got a chance to play a key role off the bench for Lawrenceburg, as he's got a nice shot. 9 points in this game. Dia Patel, Steady Eddie with 8 points. And like I mentioned, no Garrett Yoon in this game. I thought Andrew Myers played a nice game against Franklin County as well, had 6 points, and then turned around against Milan. Didn't score as much, but led him in rebounding with 9 from the guard position. So nice job by young Andrew Myers there. But 57% from the field against Milan. They shot 58% from 3, going 7 of 11. This is a very talented Tigers team. I think they have everything that you would like to have in terms of personnel when you're trying to build a roster. They got some big kids like Ashton Craig, Jackson Bobo, who can do some different things for you down low. Also have the guards that can score and create havoc on defense with Yoon, Patel, and Rohrer. And then these supporting players like Myers and Bushman, young Bobo, Sam Cornett, among others. Looks like they got a little depth and can show you some different looks from time to time. So this is going to be a fun team to cover this year. A big one against Batesville on Friday. They'll turn around and play Switzerland County on Saturday, who has a fantastic freshman on their team. More on that in just a moment. Next week at Rushville, and then Greenfield Central, a new addition to the roster, the schedule for Lawrenceburg. They'll also play Taylor before Christmas, and then they have the Richmond tournament later on this month. We'll call that Taylor game for you, the Tuesday before Christmas, right here on your hometown radio station. East Central off to a 2-0 start as well. They defeated Milan on Friday in their opener. Caleb Mergenthal with 22 points in that game, 7 of 11 shooting. Jaden Dennis, 12.7 assists from the point guard spot. And Ryan Selhorst with 11. These are kind of the three big holdovers from last year's team that played some solid varsity minutes. I think these are going to be three names you're going to hear a bunch when talking about this Trojans team this year. Mergenthal in particular has already established himself as their top scorer, turned around and had 19 points against Northwest on Saturday. Cooper Hogue's another one, a fantastic athlete, great DB for the Trojans, but now turning his focus to basketball. He scored 10 on Saturday. Selhurst and then freshman Carson Pazonka had 9 each in that win against Northwest. So you'll hear some different names for this EC team this year, but again, Mergenthal, Dennis, Selhurst, that seems to be kind of their big three, their leadership on this team, but some other guys that can certainly be capable of having big nights and helping this team win. But they outscored Northwest 23-15 in the fourth quarter on Saturday. That put the game into OT, and then the Trojans were able to outscore them 9-6 to get the win. They're on the road at LaSalle tomorrow. That'll be a tough one. At Jennings County on Friday, and then at Oldenburg Academy on Saturday as the first 5 games of the season for Coach Disbrow's Trojans, all on the road. But they'll get 5 straight home games after that, so it all balances itself out. How about some of the teams in the ORVC? South Ripley is off to a 2-1 start. They're averaging 65 points per game. That's not surprising. Coach Teasing does a great job with his team. teaching them how to get up and down the floor and score the basketball. I love their style of play. Nice wins over Rising Sun and North Decatur. So far, they did lose their opener by 7 points to Jacksonville, who, again, is a very, very solid team that can really score the ball. Switzerland County, this is a team that didn't win a whole lot last year, but they're going to win a whole lot more this year under second-year coach Travis Reitzman, second year at Switzerland County. He's been around for a long time, and he has got a nice roster this year. 71 points per game so far in their three games. Two straight wins over Austin and Crothersville. They did lose to South Decatur with their opening game of the season. South Decatur, again, one of the best teams in the area, although they hit a little rough patch over the weekend. But freshman Cam Craig, this kid is the real deal. 6'4", he's averaging 27 points per game, 7 rebounds, and almost 2.5 assists through the first three. They got Bryce Reitzman back, Bryce Turner, Jacob Williams, and Kanan Johnson. They are all off to strong starts, averaging either in double digits or very near double digits. Reitzman and Turner, those are two of their senior leaders who played really well last year, just maybe didn't have a whole lot of help around them. But now that these underclassmen are a year older, you bring in the freshman and Cam Craig, and now things are starting to brew for this Switzerland County Pacers team. They will play Rising Sun on Friday, big rivalry matchup there, and then at Lawrenceburg on Saturday. I'm very intrigued by that matchup with the Tigers on Saturday. That should be a fantastic one. Let's switch the focus to girls basketball. I want to start in the ORVC. A couple of really, really good teams is Jacksonville off to an 8-0 start. Switzerland County right there as well, 8-1 on the season. Both undefeated so far in conference play. 2-0 for Jacksonville, 1-0 for Switzerland County. But this Jacksonville team, they can hurt you in many ways. They got 7 players averaging around 5 points or more, 60 points per game as a team. Annabelle Williams has been their leader offensively. Close to 12 points per game, almost 5 rebounds, and 5.5 assists per contest. She actually tied a school record with 14 assists in a game last week. Andrea Collin, Desiree Sparks, Jaylee Ryder, those three individuals have been playing really, really well as well for that Lady Eagles team. They have a big-time matchup coming up on Tuesday against Waldron. They are 8-0 as well, and this could be a sectional championship preview. So a good measuring stick game for Jacksonville here as they look to continue the undefeatedness. I don't know if I made that word up, but they're looking to stay undefeated, go to 9-0 with a win against Waldron. As for Switzerland County, the Duval sisters, Jesse and Maddie, the top two scorers in the conference. Courtney Higgins has played really well for this Lady Pacers team as well. They don't score as well as Jacksonville. They're more 50 points per game, but their defense is right there on par with the Lady Eagles, only giving up close to 37 points per game. So that is definitely something to hang their hat on, playing such great defense. But when they get into that late season matchup against Jacksonville, they might need it to be a little bit lower scoring with the scoring prowess of that Lady Eagles team. But those two teams won't meet until January 18th. Who knows? By then could be the game that kind of determines how the ORVC shakes out. I know South Ripley's going to have something to say about that as well. But this Switzerland County team, 7-game winning streak. They play Austin on Thursday. As for South Ripley, they do expect to be in the conversation in the conference. Gracie Gunter having a really nice season, averaging in double figures so far. Sarah Meyer, Emily Flood, Caitlin Samples have been very, very solid as well. They really need to get Rachel Meyer going, though. She's played in 4 games this year, averaging only 4.5 points per game. She was an 11-point-per-game scorer a season ago. So if she gets back into form, they have 5 that can really score it, and they can hang with anybody there in the ORVC. Rising Sun, they've hit a little bit of a tough stretch here lately, losing 4 of their last 5, but much, much improved from a season ago. Chance to get back to winning ways this week against Oldenburg Academy in particular. Bailey Morris, Alyssa Simpson have been playing very, very good for Coach Friend, all-conference level, if you ask me, so far this year. As for Milan, they've already doubled their win total from last year, but still only 2-7. Yes, they won one game last year, so they are still in a process of building and trying to get some consistency on a day-to-day basis, but most recently defeated Indiana Math and Science 52-24. They will play Southwestern tomorrow, who is 2-6, so that should be, at least based on record, pretty competitive game and one that Milan will have a strong chance of pulling out another win and getting 2 wins in a row. That would be a nice confidence boost for the Lady Indians. Next up, let's check on the girls' basketball teams in the EIAC. The Lawrenceburg Tigers, 6-4 on the season. Tough loss to Jeffersonville last Wednesday, 44-24. The staggering statistic in this game, Jeffersonville outscoring the Tigers 20-0 in the third quarter. It was very competitive for a half. Tigers' wheels fell off in the third quarter and couldn't come back in the fourth, but a game they can learn from moving forward. They did bounce back with a 42-16 win over Richmond on Friday. Anytime you hold a team to 16 points, my goodness, that is impressive. Kirsten Cross, Lizzie Reeder continue to lead the way in scoring. Chloe Myers had a nice season thus far. But this team, they certainly want to play more low-scoring basketball games. Anytime the Tigers can score around 50 points, they're going to have a really good chance to win because they're only allowing 36.8 points per game. So defensively, this team is getting it done. They're looking for some more girls to step up and score the ball a little bit more outside of the three that I just mentioned in Cross, Reeder, and Chloe Meyer. But when you can defend like the Tigers have been able to defend through 10 games, scoring maybe not as much of a concern. But they now turn their focus to Batesville on Tuesday, looking to go 2-0 in the EIAC. They got Connersville on the road coming up on Saturday, so a big week ahead for the Tigers as there's a lot of teams that think they can compete in the EIAC. I think everyone's kind of looking up at East Central, who was the champ last year. We'll get to them in just a moment. I do want to touch on South Dearborn briefly here. 1-9 on the season, so sure, the struggle continues. They've lost 8 straight since defeating Clarksville back on November 6th, but maybe the most recent game against Jackson Dell is one that builds some confidence. They played this team very tough, who's 8-0, 45-56, the final score. Unfortunately, the schedule doesn't get much easier in the interim as Greensburg, they'll be on the road there. They got to play Hauser this week. But again, this is a team that has shown some improvement despite the 1-9 record. Natalie Rupp, Kirsten Dixon really coming on strong and playing well this season. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this team in person. We will definitely do that at the Rivertown Classic for sure coming up the first of the year. How about those East Central Trojans, though? 5-1, winners of 3 in a row. They're in the midst of 3 games in 8 days. They won the first two, 64-50 over Jennings County, 59-32 over Madison. Next, Columbus North on Thursday, and we will be in St. Leon to bring you that call. It is a sectional championship rematch. But this East Central team and their 5 wins, they've been blowing out the competition. 61 points per game, only allowing under 37 a game. Josie Trable, Hope Fox, Lainey Baker, all averaging double digits, doing the heavy lifting on offense. Julia Tiemann, Ashley Nobby, among others, helping the offensive cause, also on the defensive end as well. But the only loss for the Trojans, 46-55 to Columbus East. They're hoping they will see them again, I think, in the sectional to maybe get a little revenge in that game. But East and North look to be the top contenders at that Bloomington North sectional, trying to knock off East Central, who has won that sectional the last 2 years, including last year's championship game against North. 38-29 was the final. That score might not indicate that it was a great basketball game, but I did call that game last year, and I thought it was a hard-fought game between two really good teams that can get after you defensively. It was a championship game, so those tend to be a little lower scoring from time to time because there is such a focus on the defensive end. But lots of holdovers on each team's for this year's matchup that's coming up on Thursday, and I want to talk a little bit about the Columbus North team. Lauren Baker is back. She's averaging almost 14 points per game. She had 18 in that championship game last year to lead all scores. Kyla Lawson is back. She was held to 4 points in last year's championship game. She's averaging 13, so they'll have an emphasis on trying to shut those young ladies down. Emma Long, among others. They also have a talented freshman in Kennedy Horn, so this is going to be a tough matchup for East Central at home on Thursday. And I mentioned Barker. She's a really good shooter, so I think that's going to be the emphasis for this team, trying to contain her in this game and not let her go for 18 points like she did the last meeting. But matchups like these usually going to come down to who protects the ball a little bit better, make the free throws down the stretch. You might remember Josie Trable, 7 made free throws down the stretch, clutch time free throws for her a year ago in the championship game. You also need role players to step up at the time. Lainey Baker, Julia Tiemann were more role players. They made some big plays in that championship game. Their roles are bigger this year, so you look to maybe Ashley Nobby, Caitlin Dick, whoever else that might be coming off the bench for East Central to step up and make some big plays in this game, as it is another test against against a sectional opponent that they could see when it really matters down the road. So going to be a fun matchup in St. Leon on Thursday. Myself and Chuck Thomas will bring you the call right here at your hometown radio station at 7:10. We will start our coverage with our pregame, 20 minutes leading up to tip-off at 7:30. And I didn't leave myself a whole lot of time for Double T's takes. Only had one take that I wanted to get to this evening anyway, so I'll try to get through it as quickly as I possibly can on the college football playoff. I was rooting for chaos. I just really wanted to see what the committee was going to do if Alabama and or Michigan or UC lost. I wanted to see what they were going to do with one, two lost teams, conference champs, non-conference champs. Who would have been the four to fill the field if a lot of teams would have lost over the weekend? It didn't happen, so we get the four that were already in the top four as Alabama took down Georgia. You see Michigan taking care of business in their conference championship games. It's absolutely outstanding what UC has done this year. I'm so happy for them. Even being an Ohio State fan, I got no problem rooting for the Bearcats, especially with Luke Fickell there. I think he does a phenomenal job with that program. I hope that they go onto that national scene against Alabama and at least give them a game. I've learned not to bet against Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, but that's going to be a fun matchup. Hopefully UC can continue to gain more respect for not only themselves, but the group of five teams that hope to be in their position in the future. And right now, for me, I said it, Ohio State fan, anybody but Michigan as the national champ, I'm cool with, even though I'm sick of hearing about how good the SEC is. So really, fully on the UC bandwagon. Hope they shock the world and beat Alabama and just roll the dice and see what happens in the national championship game. But that's going to be fun on New Year's Eve, watching the Bearcats play in prime time against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Who would have thought that was going to happen before the season started? And secondly, with the college football playoff, I'm content with the four teams. It still builds a lot of drama. I know they're talking about expansion as early as 2024. The talks aren't going real smooth right now. I was originally in favor of six teams with the top two seeds getting a bye, but now I think eight teams is a good way to go. Everyone should play the same amount of games in a playoff, and I'd like to see the first round games be played on the campus of the team with the higher seed. I would love to see some of those warm weather teams come up and play at UC or Ohio State in January and see how they like playing in the cold. I think that would be awesome. Then you can shift into the semifinal national championship at neutral sites. But one more thing, the national championship game is in Indianapolis, so wouldn't it be something if the Bearcats could get there? I know I'm rooting for them. You probably are too. Go Bearcats. Thank you for listening to Crunch Time every Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.